Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today we have with us Kendra Tierney. She is a wife, a mother of 10 children from newborn to teenager, and an enthusiastic amateur experimenter in the domestic arts. She writes the award-winning blog Catholic All Year, is a regular contributor to Blessed Is She Ministries, and is the voice of liturgical living at Endow Ministries. She's the author of the Catholic All Year Compendium and a little book about confession for children. Today we'll be speaking about her new book, The Catholic All Year Prayer Companion, The Liturgical Year in Practice. Welcome back to the show, Kendra.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we had you on before to discuss the, I'll call it the parent volume of this book, The Catholic All Year Compendium. And it's worth discussing this again to open. For those who didn't hear that episode, why is it important to immerse ourselves in the liturgical year?
You know, I think that it, in our family at least, has ended up being a really gentle and fun and fruitful way of catechism, of learning about the lives of the saints, and within this sort of framework of the rhythm of the church year. And just that rhythm itself has been such a bonus for us of sort of structuring our year in our home the same way that the church does. So we have times of fasting and times of feasting, and it has ended up being such a blessing in our home and such a joyful way to learn more about our faith.
So tell us a bit about this particular book and how you see it being used, as well as how it works hand in hand with the compendium.
Yeah. The Catholic All Year Compendium is where I sort of lay out how this liturgical living in the home looks in our family. I give suggestions for ways that you might want to celebrate feast days in the home for about 100 different feasts and the different seasons, and I make suggestions for scripture verses and prayers and other sort of devotional practices that we do associated with these different feast days. And then the Prayer Companion is a compilation of all those suggestions for prayers and devotions, the actual text of the scripture verses. The Catholic All Year Compendium also has ideas for foods and activities and things like that. But then the Prayer Companion is just the actual text of all these different beautiful prayers, you know, especially things like litanies and novenas that are associated with different feast days. And it's the actual text. So you don't have to go looking for them. And I think that the books work really well together. They complement each other, obviously, but they really can be used, either one or the other on its own.
Mm-hmm. And as the book alludes in the title, it's a prayer companion. And as you talked about there in that brief description, you're a busy mom yourself, so you should have some great insight into what I'm about to ask. What are some practical ways to incorporate prayer into our busy lives.
Yeah, it is. It's so hard. And I know so many of us are really scheduled, and it's hard to find time when the family can be together. What has worked really well for us is really making our family dinner a priority. And I call it, you know, I sort of joke that it's our apostolate of family dinner, because not only is it, you know, that time when we make a point of being home together and sitting down for a family meal, we often are able to invite friends and, you know, extended family members to join us. But even when it's just us, it's having that time together that we can count on in order to be able to talk about our lives, but then also talk about these saints and what's happening, you know, on the church calendar, just in a conversational way. And that's also when we incorporate these different prayers that I've compiled in the prayer companion here.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, the prayer companion has been a really helpful resource. And that's sort of what I had in mind when I was putting it all together, is that it's something that my husband can just grab from sitting on, you know, we just keep it on the little buffet table in our dining room. And that way, when my husband rolls in, you know, just as we're sitting down to dinner, because he really, you know, he works long hours outside the home, but he makes it a point to be able to be home with us for dinner almost every night. And this way, without any advanced preparation, he can grab this book and be an example of prayer for our kids. And he can be, you know, that leader of our domestic church that it might otherwise be more complicated for him, you know, to manage.
Mm-hmm. And as a follow-up to that, I guess what it boils down to is what our definition of busy is and where we place priorities in our schedules, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in our home, our practice of the faith really is just part and parcel with our family culture. And it's just something that that is woven through our days and our seasons. And so it really does sort of feel like it comes naturally to us now, but it did take an overall haul of our priorities. That was a really slow process over many years, mm-hmm. You know, to get to this point.
You know, the book, because you keep alluding to family and children, it isn't just about adults. There are plenty of books out there about the prayer life that we can have as adults. This book is about instilling these habits of prayer in our children. And in the introduction, you write, quote, "Liturgical living-based prayer is an especially great way to introduce different spiritual practices to children," end quote. You have children of various ages. As they've grown, how have you seen this method flower and grow within them as individual persons?
Yeah, that's such an important point. And I think that it can feel like an obstacle to family prayer when you have kids that are, you know, a wide range of ages. But in our family, we have found that this is a great way to pray as a family, these traditional vocal prayers that are said in community that have been said for generations of Catholics, things like litanies, things like, you know, novenas that can be said together as a family. And it's been really neat for us to see how the kids can react to them in different ways as they get older. And maybe the little kids understand very little of it, but they become familiar with the language and they can come to understand it more and more as they get older. And these prayers that aren't dumbed down versions, they aren't kiddie versions of things. And that means that they're still of interest to the older kids as they, you know, as they become more mature and they're sort of, you know, coming into their own practice of the faith. And I have found that it, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see the older and the younger kids interact together and be able to, you know, appreciate these things in new ways as they get older.
one thing you include in the book, attached to some of the prayers that you have included, are indulgences. And I think some of us may be confused or unsure of what they are and what they mean. And a lot of traditional prayers include them. So could you tell us what they are and why they are so powerful?
Yeah, so an indulged prayer means it has sort of the official stamp of approval of the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. And it's recommended to us as something that's going to help us grow in personal holiness. But in the same way that things that we want our kids to do, you know, we might attach a reward to the accomplishment of that, because Christ established the church and gave the Magisterium of the Church the authority to, you know, bind and loose sins. The Catholic Church has this authority to sort of bind and loose us from the temporal punishments that are associated with our sins, even after we have gone to confession and been forgiven. There are still temporal consequences associated with sin. And so there's this system where we can connect ourselves with the deposit of grace of the Catholic Church and sort of have access to we can perform good works and prayers ourselves, and we can have access to the good works and prayers that have been performed by Catholics all over the world and throughout time. And it's this system of sort of this interconnectedness of our faith all over the world and throughout time. And so these prayers that are specifically enhanced with indulgences are sort of a twofer, that we get to learn these beautiful prayers that when we say these words, we are learning important truths about the faith as we're praying. And we're also connecting in to these partial indulgences that we can receive, by the act of saying the prayers.
So in the first few chapters of the book, to kind of lay out the groundwork here for folks, is where you really get into the meat and potatoes of it, and that's the prayers. And in that first chapter, you give some great insights on how to encourage reluctant spouses and reluctant teens, shall we say, to participate. Can you share some of those tips with us?
Yeah, I grew up in a home where, I was baptized Catholic, and my mom presented us for all of our sacraments and took us to Mass on Sundays, but my dad wasn't Catholic when I was growing up. And so, I got to see how at least one person managed that as somebody for whom her Catholic faith was important to pass on to her kids, but she didn't have the support of my dad at that point. And so it's just one case study, but my mom, after 25 years of praying for my dad and setting the example of going to Mass and bringing and making a priority of the sacraments with her kids, my dad sort of, it felt like out of nowhere, decided to join the RCIA and became Catholic. And now, as an adult, he's a part of all of our crazy liturgical living traditions. They volunteer at Lourdes and make pilgrimages. And my kids can't imagine, that he was ever anything except a Catholic. And so, just from that experience, and contrasting that with the experiences of some of my friends and acquaintances that I've talked to who had a more sort of combative experience of growing up in a mixed household. When people ask me for advice on it, I always encourage people with a spouse who is not Catholic to adopt that method of prayer, making sacrifices, and setting a good example, knowing what we believe so that we can answer questions if it comes down to it, but trying to avoid threats and pestering and things that maybe won't be as constructive.
So I guess while we're having this conversation about that, one important thing we need to keep in mind is our expectations when it comes to the participation, particularly of children. Obviously, a 17-year-old will be involved differently than a 5-year-old is in these prayers and practices. So how do you find ways to keep everything open and accessible to everyone in the family?
Yeah, I think that the ideal setup is something that starts when kids are really young. And so there isn't really a question of whether or not they'll participate. Honestly, in our family, we don't experience pushback on things like going to Mass or saying a family rosary because it's just really part of our family culture. It wouldn't be something that my kids would have any expectation at all of, of being the possibility of not happening. So I always, if you can start right from birth with kids, that's ideal. If it didn't happen like that, then you need to be, upfront with kids on, hey, we're going to make the following changes for the following reasons. And then the goal, as with all parenting things, is, being really consistent and really calm. And I've watched friends' families make this transition and, it doesn't have to be something that's really traumatic or really difficult if we can just be consistent. And I think that even people who are starting with kids who are older can have a lot of success with it. And I think that especially when it's tied into tradition, when it's tied into doctrinal truths and also fun and ways to have positive associations through feast days and things like that, I think helps it all sort of go down easier.
Mm-hmm. The majority of the book is the prayers, and it consists of novenas, litanies, and everything in between. It's a fabulous resource, I think. Everything's arranged by month, so it's easy to follow along. But how did you determine what ended up in this book?
That is a good question. I just have stacks of old prayer books, and I would, in researching the Catholic All Year Compendium, I would pay close attention to what foods and activities and prayers are associated with different saints and different feast days. And then there are just some really great old resources that have sort of fallen into disuse. But things like the Manual of Indulgences, an older Indulge prayer book called the Rapolta, which is like 800-page massive book of prayer. But I really enjoyed going through all of those and finding ones that I knew would be meaningful and useful to my family today, and sort of being able to dust these off and bring them to a new audience that still needs them. It felt a little bit like being on one of those reality shows where people, where you go and look through somebody's barn and find great old works of art, that these are still great and useful but just sort of aren't as commonly used as they maybe were in a different era.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like rediscovering old treasures.
Exactly.
There's three buckets that I like to say we can divide the liturgical year into. You have the Advent and Christmas bucket, the Lent and Easter bucket, and Ordinary time. Do you find there's a favorite time or more engaged time of the year for your family?
I think that we have, there are reasons to really appreciate all of the different seasons. And, as we're in ordinary time right now, I feel like that's really the time when we can more focus on individual saints and learning their stories and being inspired by them. But I definitely love the sort of longer arc of preparation that we can focus on in Lent and in Advent. I think that it's really beautiful to have those times of a focus on growing in personal holiness and basing it, focusing it on a particular time of year is, you know, really makes it manageable for me. I would never, but it's really challenging for me to just sort of in general pray more. But if I have a certain thing that I'm going to do in a certain season, I can remember to do that every year. Mm-hmm. I really feel like Advent for me is my favorite. I love sort of the feel of Advent, that anticipation and preparation. Our family has been doing the Christmas novena that I include in the prayer companion. We've been doing it for 15 years, I think now. And it's just a really important family tradition at this point. And my kids really love it. And it allows us to come together on those 9 days before Christmas when it can feel so hectic and busy. And we really make that time to come together and pray for, you know, it takes 10 or 12 minutes and there's Bible readings and there's hymns and it's just this sort of connection that we can make through history, through the Old and New Testament, and really feel like Christmas isn't just a one day, hey, we're getting a lot of presents. Mm-hmm. We really do. It really makes it real what we're preparing for. So I would have to say that's my favorite season.
So you kind of touched on it there just a bit. I wanted to wrap up with this thought. When we're outside those purple vestment seasons of Lent and Advent and Christmas and Easter, we're in ordinary time. So what do you find is helpful to make ordinary time less ordinary?
So I would say that the beauty of ordinary time is the saints and the individual saints and these fun traditions that are associated with them throughout the world, especially I think our favorite is the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, which we just had in June. There are really fun traditions like having a bonfire that have been celebrated since, I think, the first written account of bonfires from the Nativity of St. John the Baptist are from like the year 600 or 700. Mm-hmm. So liturgical living traditions that have really stood the test of time. And the way that these are fun community celebrations that also teach us important truths about our faith. And so we love, you know, spending ordinary time getting to know some of the saints and learning these prayers and devotions that are associated with them without all the rest of sort of the trappings of the big liturgical seasons, that we can sort of, you know, focus on what prayers did this saint love, and maybe this, you know, without as much extra busyness, we can, you know, try some of those prayers and see if they also help us.
Mm-hmm. Kendra, great book. I think it's a great companion to your original volume, but it stands on its own as a great volume for people to have, as you said, close at hand. Where can people find the Catholic All Year Prayer Companion, the Liturgical Year in Practice?
So both of the books are available through my website, catholicallyear.com. They're also available from Ignatius Press, and they ship worldwide, and also, you know, wherever books are sold.
And with that, that's all we have time for today. Kendra, I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
No, I guess that's it. Thanks so much for having me. And I'm so glad to hear that you're finding the books useful in your own family.
All right. And with that, I'm sure everybody else will as well. With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Until next time, God bless.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.